I would appreciate your prayers. My desire is that it would be the Lord that ministers to us through His Spirit, would feed our souls, would stir us, would minister to each one exactly what is needed. The Scripture says of preaching that there's a certain foolishness to it. Can you imagine the waiting rooms of hospitals full of the sick and diseased and infirm, and a doctor come out and say, I'm going to prescribe to every one of you exactly the same thing? Do you know the Holy Spirit is able to take and minister to each of our unique needs through His Word? He knows where we are. He knows what we need. And our trust is in Him to bless His Word every time we stand before you. Look straight ahead. The burden that the Lord has given me. I'd like to begin in the book of Proverbs, the 4th chapter. Proverbs 4, and begin here in the 20. Get my place here. Proverbs 4, beginning in verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. I believe there's here some good sound words of wisdom to live by. In life that we're going through, in this world in which we live, the instruction here is, let your eyes look right on. Look straight ahead. There are so many things happening all around us that we can become distracted, discouraged, confused. You know, in the midst of it all, the instruction is, let your eyes look straight ahead. I believe that the assumption here is that you're oriented in the right direction before you fix your eyes straight ahead. Do we know where we're going? Do we know what our goal is? What our aim at the end of life is? I know I've shared many times, but I never realized at the time how much of a mantra this would be in life for me. When I was a teenager and I decided I wanted to plow a little plot of, small plot of land for a deer crop, and my great-grandfather, Brother Porter, had been farming pretty much all his life. He at that point was in his 90s, and he wanted to go along out in the field with me and watch, and he told me, Clint, if you want to plow a straight row, I'm going to tell you how to do it. You look at the fence and you find a fence post or something on the other side of the field, or you can go tie a ribbon on it or something, but you look and fix your eyes on that and don't look to the side, don't look behind you, just don't take your eyes off of that. And when you get to the other side of the field, you can look back and you'll see that your row is as straight as can be. And you know it works? And that's always stuck with me in life as well. You know, we can look around at things that are happening on the left and on the right. I can look around behind me, and my path is going to swerve all over the place. But the counsel here is, son, don't be distracted. Look straight ahead. There's going to be voices that are calling you from one side and the other. But don't listen to it. Fix your eyes on your goal. And keep them there. Keep looking straight ahead. Well, I'd like to consider some of the alternatives. What would we do if our eyes aren't fixed straight ahead? You know, the enemy would love to get us to looking back. What did Jesus say about the man that puts his hand to the plow and he looks back? You're not fit for the kingdom of God. This isn't going to work for you. You can't set about and put your hands to the gospel plow. I can't start out with the Lord, but have my neck craned around like an owl trying to look behind me. You're not going to be able to do it. Let your eyes look straight ahead. So the enemy would like to get us looking back behind us. Didn't he do that with the children of Israel? The Lord delivered them from their hard oppression. He heard their groanings and their sighings, and the Lord delivered them. But it wasn't all that long until they said, you know, we remember the leeks, the garlic. We remember our soul had plenty to eat back in that land. You can't drive forward looking in the rearview mirror. Not very long. If you're driving ahead with your head craned around looking behind you, or with your eyes fixed in the rearview mirror, it's not going to work very well. But the enemy would like to get us to looking back behind us, to looking at the things that we left behind. Like for us to look in Luke, the 17th chapter. You know what one of the shortest verses in the Bible is, don't you? Luke 17 and verse 34, one of the shortest verses. Well, it's 32. We'll start there. Remember Lot's wife. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty short. Remember Lot's wife. Yes. Book of Romans says, which things are written aforetime are written for our learning. We through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. The things that have happened to those before us should serve as teachers to us that I can learn from their lives. And this one in particular, the story of a family who the angel came down into the wicked, wicked city in which they chose to live. The wickedness of it had gotten so great that the angel said, I'm going to have to destroy this. There's no alternative. There's no option left. I'm going to have to destroy this city, but I want you to leave with your family. Of course, Lot went and appealed unto his daughters and their husbands, and they wouldn't listen to him, but those that were in the home, he urged, get out of the city. And if you read it, he finally took them by the hand and started taking them. You've got to leave. There's an urgency to this. You can't stay behind. You can't hold on to this. You can't live here. The judgment of the Lord is going to fall upon this where you are. And I'm here to save you from the destruction of God's judgment. Well, isn't that a picture also of the wickedness of our world in which we live? We are in this world, but we are not of the world. We are called to be separate from the world, not to live and imbibe in the very things on which God's judgment is going to fall. Be separate. Distance yourselves from that. Lot, get up and go. And he said unto them very clearly, don't turn and look behind you. But that's exactly what Lot's wife did. There's a lot that's not written in that, left to us to surmise why she looked behind her. But as Scripture warns against it, I believe it was more than just she forgot. You know, there can be things that are behind us that really draw the heart. When you think about it, she had daughters and sons-in-law. I don't know, maybe grandchildren behind. But the angel had brought them to a place. This is your soul now. You're going to have to be willing to sever the ties, leave it behind, and make your direction clear. Make your escape. We're told here, remember Lot's wife. And the context here in Luke, I believe, is where Jesus is prophesying about the destruction of Jerusalem that was soon to come. To those that are on the housetop, You don't have time to go back into the house. You know, you can think about all the things that you're going to lose. But whenever this siege falls upon the city, it'll be so sudden that it will not be expedient for you. It will not be in your best interest to take the time to go into your house and try to pack up your goods to carry with you out of the city. You're going to have to be of a mindset that this is life and death. I'm going to have to run and flee for my life to get out of this while there's time. You ever thought about what would happen if there was a fire? And there's probably some wisdom in doing planning ahead of time. But what things would I really not want to part with? What things are most valuable, precious to me, that if I get nothing else, I want to make sure I get these items? But there are things that we have to be willing to just let go. And the enemy will try to draw us back if he can. It might be family members like Lot and his wife had back in Sodom. It might be things that I've left behind that every once in a while maybe I hear a strain of that same music. And I feel a little something. There might be something where the enemy tries to pull back up in front of me. The old man that I used to be. I know he does that because the scripture talks about the sow that is washed, returning to the mire that she was saved from. Don't turn back. Don't be like that or like the dog that returns to his vomit. You've been saved. You've been brought out of it. Why do you want to be entangled again with the same yoke of bondage that you were under? You're set free. So don't go back to the places that will put you in bondage. We don't live under the covenant of a law anymore, like Moses' law was. But now, today, it's a law written in our hearts. It's about more than what I can get by with. Where I can find a loophole in the law. You know, the law written in our hearts is a law wherein the Lord will say, you know, this thing right here is not expedient for you. You know, you've got a weakness right here. Maybe this is something I delivered you from. Other people might be, I'm not talking about sin. Other people might be able to do that. But the law written on my heart says, you know what? It's going to put me at a disadvantage if I do. There's going to be something that's going to begin to draw me back if I do. Places that I go, that the atmosphere of it, and I could look at it and say, you know, I can't say there's anything sinful about going to a place like this. Where could you show me that a Christian cannot go here? But something about the atmosphere of it that is designed to just kind of loosen you a little bit. Just everybody, just loosen up. Let's have a good time. And there may be places like that. The voice of wisdom, the law written in my heart says, you're better off to avoid that. Look straight ahead. Remember your goal. There's something here that, there's a Vanity Fair that you're passing through. Oh, Christian, don't let yourself be distracted by the flashing lights and by the carnival callers, as I put it in more modern terms. Don't allow yourself to be drawn aside, distracted from your purpose. What about our purpose? Do we have one? You know, I find that it's something that people just in general in the world are yearning for, is a sense of purpose. A sense of belonging, a sense of identity, a sense of purpose. And the enemy of our souls wants to distract us from our purpose, to lose sight of what it really is. Don't look back. Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter and 10th verse, is a scripture I'd like to tie in with this. (Clears throat) Ecclesiastes 7 and 10 says, "Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this." If you think about that for a moment, you ever hear the phrase, the good old days? Oh, I remember the good old days. You know, all of us can reminisce back to maybe days of our childhood, those that are older. Say, I can remember the time when you could leave your car unlocked on the street and not worry about it. When you could let your children run through the neighborhood and just tell them be home by 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, whatever, and you didn't have to worry. I remember the good old days. But there's a pearl of wisdom here that tells us, be careful about spending your time thinking about the good old days. And I believe for a few reasons, if you'll allow me or consider it, it can distort reality. You know, looking back, if you really stop and think about it, the good old days weren't always so good. There was a share of wickedness in those days as well. And it can cause us to think wistfully back at a time that is no more. It's not here. Those are not my days. It can leave me in a mindset of discontent. Well, if only. For example, if only we lived in the days of Brother B.E. Warren and D.S. Warner and D.O. Teasley and all of them, where they'd roll through a little village in their wagon and everybody would crane and they'd listen to the singing and there would just be a flock of people that would come out under the brush arbor. If only we lived in those days, I'd go out and work for the Lord. I'd go out and share the message. You know, those weren't always the good old days there. You read some of the things that they experienced. But those aren't our days. And it's not for us to sit in our day just gazing wistfully in the rearview mirror saying, if only. No, these are our days. The Lord has put us here in such a time as this. I want to look straight ahead. Lord, what's the path that you have for us from here going forward? I don't believe it's saying don't learn from the past. Don't remember the past. Contrary. But don't spend your time missing what the Lord has in front of us because I'm spending it all looking back into the past. But avail ourselves of the grace of God to say, Lord, the grace that you showed unto the brethren in the past, you've got it for us here. Lord, reveal yourself in this generation. Lord, help me to prove your grace sufficient right now in this situation. I'm not going to just sit back and say, well, there's nothing for me to do these days. Nobody wants it anymore. Really? Lord, help me to look straight ahead. Amen. Lord, show me the path before me. Help me to see what's right here, right now, and what's in the path ahead. I'd like to pick up also Philippians, the third chapter. Continue this thought of the alternative of looking behind us. Isn't the devil cruel? The enemy is the accuser of the brethren. He's a liar and the father of it. You ever have the enemy come along and accuse you? The enemy come along and point out things in the past of your life to try to torment you, cripple, and shackle you. You think Paul would have had opportunity to look back and remember and be tormented by times such as the one where he stood and had the clothing of one young man named Stephen when he consented to his death? You think those couldn't come back and haunt the Apostle Paul? You think there wouldn't be places where Paul would come back to and say, oh, I remember. I remember coming into this very village with a whole different... I remember that house. I remember I went and I took the father out of that home. I remember, you know, he could have been plagued by that. He could have been hindered by it. But he, I believe, learned something, and he said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I can't drive forward with my eyes looking behind me. I've got to take care of the things that are behind me. This isn't about just, well, I'm just going to cover it over and ignore it and move on. No, I bring it to the blood of Jesus and I take care of those things. But then I move on and I forget those things that are behind. And I trust also what he said in this chapter. Verse, the next verse. "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." Whenever we're battling accusations and doubts and the enemy trying to dredge up things from the past. Folks, if this is our mind, "Lord, I want to forget the things that are behind that I have given and committed to you. And I want to press for the mark of the prize that's before me." God will be faithful to reveal to us any little thing that I maybe don't see, I don't realize, I've overlooked. God is faithful that he won't allow me to come to the judgment in honesty and sincerity of heart and say, "I'm sorry, you didn't see that." God in his faithfulness will reveal those things unto us. And it gives me a rest that, "Lord, I can commit the past to you. I can leave that in your hands and press forward. And if there's anything that I need to go back and take care of, Lord, you'll show me that. And you'll help me to know what to do about it." The old enemy wants to torment us in our minds, leave us in a place of uncertainty. But Lord, help us not to try to live life looking in the rearview mirror. Well, what other alternatives are there other than looking straight ahead? I can look to the sides and look to the right, to the left. You've ever seen the horses that are in urban areas? Maybe a wagon behind them, carriage. Amish country, you certainly see it a lot. Horses and buggies that are riding down the road. Many times you'll see blinders on the side of the horse's eyes. Don't be distracted. What you see over there, don't let it spook you. Don't let that thing over there spook you. What was it? I believe Paul in one of his epistles said, "Don't you be troubled in your mind as what you're hearing from some other people that the day of the Lord is at hand." There was an idea, a rumor, a doctrine, a teaching that was going around that had people worried, that had them frightened, that was destabilizing them. And Paul said, "Don't worry about that." Folks, there are all kinds of doctrines and beliefs, and these folks believe this and they believe that, and this church group, they do things this way. I'm reminded of the standards in the Old Testament. You remember what the standards were for? When the Israelites would go forward and march, they would go by ranks or by tribe, by family, and each had their own standard or flag. They would lift that up, and if you were of that family, as you marched, you were to keep your eyes on the flag, and you were to follow that wherever they went. And all the confusion and the hubbub and the dust, no doubt, kicked up by the feet of likely over a million people. Sometimes it's hard to keep track of our children in the grocery store, much less in a crowd of a million people or so. Lift up your eyes and look for your flag. Folks, whenever there's confusion around us, when there's church problems around us, lift up your eyes to the standard. You know what the standard is? Well, we could say it's the banner of holiness. It is. But the standard is Jesus Christ. He is holiness. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Don't look to me. Don't look to some other man. Don't look to some body of men. Look unto Jesus Christ and fix our eyes on Him. Look straight ahead. It doesn't matter what my brother's doing over there. It doesn't matter what direction they're taking off over there. If I'll keep my eyes straight ahead and fixed on Jesus, I don't have to be turned out of the way. John, the 21st chapter. Story here, after Jesus was resurrected and met with His disciples again. Let's read John 21 and start in the verse 20. But this is after the place where Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me more than these?" Verse 20, Peter turning about, "Seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do?" Now Jesus had just put the spotlight on Peter, questioning him, interrogating him these three times. "Peter, do you love me?" Peter now, after responding to him those three times, said, "But Jesus, what about this man? I'm not the only one here." Now I'm inferring that. Peter didn't say it. "But Lord, what about this man John over here?" Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Don't look to the fellow on the left. Don't look to the lady on the right. Get your eyes on what you're supposed to do. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Don't get your eyes on people. Folks, I know we are people. The Bible teaches the glory of the church of God, and I believe it with all my heart. It's beautiful, and I hope we see the vision of it. You know what it's made up of? It's made up of people. Blood washed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It's made up of people. But it's made up of people who are still here on this earth, who still have temptations, who still have places that the Lord is trying to work and bring them to a fuller understanding of grace and a fuller maturity, growth in the things of God. You know, if we look around and get our eyes on people, we'll be disappointed, we'll be discouraged. We can see things happening around us. We can look at, why are they doing that? They know better than that. I can't believe they're participating in that or doing those kind of things. And folks, it might be legitimate concerns. It might be something they ought not to be doing. And I don't believe it's saying that we live just independent unto ourselves. I don't care about you. I don't care about anybody else. But folks, first and foremost, I got to make it to heaven for myself. I got to make it. I can't allow myself to be turned aside. I can't allow myself to be distracted by things that are happening around me. I can carry a burden. I can pray and I can bring it to the Lord. But you know what I'm doing then? I'm not fixing my eyes on them. Yes, I see what's going on. And I look right back to Jesus. And I say, Lord, would you help my brother? Lord, would you help them if they're going astray here? Lord, would you open their eyes as you have mine? And Lord, don't let me be turned out of the way. Make straight paths for your feet. For your feet. It's not for me going around trying to make straight paths for everybody else's feet. You make straight paths for your feet. And if I make straight paths for my feet, lest they that are lame be turned out of the way. Those that are coming along behind us or that are watching our lives. I don't want to be the cause of them turning away. Make straight paths for your feet. Look straight ahead. We remember what happened to Peter. We read about it a couple Sundays ago. Peter got out of the boat and he started walking across the water, and he was doing just fine until he started looking around at the waves and the wind and the circumstances that were around him. You know, those circumstances were real. This wasn't Peter's imagination running away with him. The waves were real. The wind was real. The danger was no less real. But as long as he kept his eyes on the Lord, there wasn't danger. He was just fine. And we will be too. No matter the circumstances, no matter how real the danger, no matter how big the problem, if we keep our eyes on the Lord, we'll be fine. But if we start looking to the left and to the right and looking down and looking all around, I'll be like Peter. My faith will begin to falter. I'll begin to lose my courage. Folks, I know I've allowed myself at times in the past to see this problem over here and that problem over there and this one not doing what it seems like they ought to be doing and that one changing their beliefs and their standards and moving more and more, and I see that and I see this, and you know what it does? It's kind of like it just lets the air out of the tires. It's like it just deflates you. It's called discouragement. The Lord doesn't want us to keep our eyes on the things around us that are discouraging. It's not that I put my head in the sand. There's not any problems. Everything's rosy. Everything's wonderful. But it's about, again, Lord, I see the dangers around me, and it's why I must keep my eyes on you. I can't afford. Well, they say one of the greatest dangers today is distracted driving. One of the greatest dangers behind the wheel. Drunk driving is certainly a danger. Falling asleep while you're driving is a danger. But distracted driving. And there are so many things that can distract us and take our eyes off the road. And I'll just admit, I'm guilty. But so many things in driving that can distract our focus. And so many things, even more importantly, in this walk with the Lord, that can distract our focus. You see it out of the periphery of our eyesight. I don't remember how many degrees they say we see, but you can, towards the periphery, you can see motion. And that motion causes you to want to turn and look at what it is. There are so many movements going on in the world around us. If we allow ourselves to be distracted, we'll never make straight paths for our feet. And I believe it's why we need to do like the horses and put our blinders on. Lord, there's one direction I want to see, and it's straight ahead. Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 10, those that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. It's not wise to do it. Don't measure yourself by looking at how somebody else is doing. It can get you off in one ditch or the other. Well, you know what? I come to church more often than they do. You know what? I think, well, at least I don't do that. And I might not at all be where the Lord wants me to be. Lord, help us not to measure ourselves to others, but as I look steadfastly into the Word of God and on the face of Jesus Christ as revealed through His Word, that's how I should measure myself. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. In the second verse. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Are you faint? You ever just get tired? Just tired of dealing with life. Just tired of the problems. Tired of dealing with people. Just let me go live off by myself somewhere. I might feel occasionally. Look unto Jesus. When we begin to get wearied and faint in our mind, it can be an indication that my eyes aren't in the right place, that I need to fix them back on the Lord and look straight ahead. So in closing, looking back at where we began, Proverbs, the fourth chapter, I want you to notice the progression of what the wise man, the writer here, says in fourth chapter of Proverbs. It said first, let your eyes look right on, your eyelids straight before thee. And then it said, ponder the path of your feet. Let all thy ways be established. And then it says, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. You know, the places that our steps go are first preceded by where our mind has gone, which is often preceded by where our eyes have been fixed. If you're off looking on the left, chances are your row is going to start swerving to the left over time. So make sure you look straight ahead. And that we're not looking off to one side or the other, because therein follows where my mind is. Jesus said, set your affections on things above. Any man be in Christ, if any be risen with Christ, let him seek those things that are above, not the things that are on the earth. Get your eyes off of that and get your eyes up and lifted up unto Christ. Let that be where your eyes look, and let that then be what you ponder on and you think about, you spend your time dwelling upon. You know, there's a whole lot that can go on inside this cranium. There are battles that can be fought that I, looking at you, would never know what's going through your mind at this very moment. But the Lord does. And you know, the mind strays before the feet ever do. Lord, help us then to keep our mind, to keep our heart with all diligence. And it's going to help a whole lot, the issues of the heart and the mind, if I'll keep my eyes on the Lord. And I won't allow myself to become distracted and drawn aside or drawn back. This theme is seen throughout Scripture. It was told to Joshua. It said, Joshua, the commandment that you've been given, turn not from it. Don't turn to the right hand. Don't turn to the left. Again, if we're comparing ourselves among ourselves, you can see some that have gone off into compromise. You can see those that have can't tell them apart from the world now. And you can see, on the other hand, those that have gone into a fanatical spirit, those that have brought themselves and their people under the bondage of a law-like system. I don't want to compare myself to either one of those. I want to keep my eyes on the goal. Something that I have observed in my relatively short time observing these kind of things in ministry and serving the Lord. Whenever the ship starts to tilt one way, you know what the tendency is? Let's all run to the other side of the ship. We don't want to go that way. A man named Danny Lane comes among us and we see the direction he's going. We don't want to do that. You know what? All that praising the Lord and shouting and hollering, we don't want to go there. We want everybody to know that we are not part of that. You see how we can run to the other side of the ship? And then in time, the ship starts to tilt that direction. You know, the better thing for us to do? Hold to the center, which is Jesus Christ, and keep my eyes fixed on Him. Folks, we can't go wrong if we keep our eyes on the Lord. Despite the changing times that are around us, no matter what people on the left and on the right might do, if I keep my eyes on the Lord, amen, you're going to be all right. Take it to the bank. Keep your eyes on the Lord. And don't turn to the right or to the left or back. And you're going to be just fine. You pray for me. Amen.